Trigger warning. This episode contains zoo content.
And puma content.
But not the kind you want. Oh boy. I'm sorry that I'm starting you late on this. I'm sorry, it's almost 8 o'clock your time.
And totally fine.
Unthinkable. Totally
fine. I can't even imagine what time it is for you. It's
I have no idea. I have no concept. Everyone here is sick. Everyone is sick. I'm sick. Aaron's sick. The girls are both sick. So it's good times.
That's convenient, though. That's convenient.
It's not.
It is, actually. Because I'll tell you what the alternative is.
You tell me.
You and Aaron are sick. And the kids... not sick. Tons of energy.
That is worse. Okay. It's a little worse. All right. I wouldn't say this is the most convenient.
Mm-hmm.
What's best is when I'm sick and everyone takes care of me.
Oh, gosh. That's a good one.
Man. That's the best.
That happened to me for about 4 hours one day in 2014.
Oh, what a great quarter day that was, huh?
Oh.
Six of a day.
I came home from work. I was throwing up. I was shitting my pants. I was in bad shape.
Yeah,
and,
sounds like it.
And Amy's like, you know what? I'm gonna take the girls. We're gonna go stay over at my mom's house. You just stay here in the apartment. You stay here by yourself until you feel better. You know, I'll check back in on you tomorrow. I was like, this is the nicest anyone's ever been to me in my entire life. You know.
Yeah.
And then about 2 hours later, she called me back and she said, "We all have it now, so I'm coming home." I was like, "Oh, fuck."
So you timed it all wrong.
I know.
I
know. I should have skipped town. She gave me an out. I could have been in Albuquerque by the time she made that call.
Babe, you don't have to take the girls. No. Let me leave.
Yeah.
Let me go
exactly.
somewhere.
In fact, I'm going to turn my phone off.
No.
I don't want to know where you are.
In fact, give me that hammer. Smash. Yeah. Now you can. The phone's gone. Oh.
So as bad as you're doing right now, I'll tell you who's doing worse. Is AI companies, and do you want to know why I say this?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have had to unsubscribe to 3 different spam emails in the last, not exaggerating, 15 minutes from different AI companies just lobbying me for weird shit.
Huh, like money or different kinds of weird shit? Oh, like, what are these robots into?
OpenAI just sent me some random email about how, you know, we haven't seen you in a while. I'm like, I've never... I've never used you for anything. Of course, you haven't seen me in a while.
You don't use chat?
No. I'm.
No, you save all your chat queries until this podcast.
Exactly. And you have me look at chat. Yes, absolutely.
It's very smart. Smart.
But, yeah. There's no monthly fee for that one. Mm-hmm. I got Zoom back-to-back emailing me about wanting to use their AI companion in our meeting today.
I don't want to do that.
No. It's so. No. If they are far enough down on the tree that they're trying to get money out of me, then I give it 6 months. I give the whole
Sam Altman would have better luck coming to your house and actually taking it apart brick by brick to find you. That's where he is. I told you they called a Code Red over at OpenAI because the new Claude, the new Gemini are real. I've been playing around with both of them. They're really good.
That's
I might
wonderful.
Have them write an episode of this podcast so we can cause a lot of nuclear fallout over in the Discord.
Did you see the one from today where Gemini was asked to create an infographic of the last 30 World Series winners?
No.
This was pretty fun. Let me read some of the team names for you.
Okay.
The New York Mets, 1986.
I know them.
Makes sense. The logo is not correct, but that's fine. 1988, the Logilis Dodgers. I don't know who Logilis is.
Yeah.
1991, the Cincinnati Athletics. That's not a team.
Cincinnati Athletics, okay.
From 1995 to 2000, it's the same winner, the New York Yerkes.
You know what? Okay, new idea. We should have AI rename all the teams. I like the New York Yerkes.
The Cardinals only show up once. Well, I assume this is the Cardinals. The Cardinals only show up once in 2011, but they were referred to as the St. Lonzo Cardinals.
St. Lonso?
St. Lonso, and they use the San Francisco Giants logo. So, I don't know.
Well,
doesn't seem
it's
close.
Interesting because this is all information that's pretty easy to find on the internet. Strange. Maybe this is, so Gemini's growing up. It's just learning how to talk. And its pronunciation is a little off. You're a dad. You get it. It's fine. It'll get there. It's got to teach it.
It's got to yell at it a little bit. It'll figure it out.
Just got to shove it down some stairs until it learns how to say an S. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Is This a Ghost?
Oh, shit.
I'm Clayton Smith. And every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously.
Obviously. I didn't even realize we were recording.
this is on? Oh, God. So I don't know if it's going to make it in the show or not because it was all before the intro, but we're sick over here. How are you doing?
Not sick currently. Although we'll get there. This morning, yeah. June woke up a little cough. Glory had a little cough. So we're getting there.
It's coming for you.
We're getting there right in time for Christmas.
That's really fun. So
as soon as I get off work next week for like 2 weeks, then whoo, buddy. Time to get super duper sick.
I know you said no, get you anything, but I got you cholera. Mm-hmm. the UK WhatsApp group, for mm-hmm. iTag. The UK iTag WhatsApp group.
Uh-huh. Boy, now you're sounding like AI. Are you sure you're?
The New York Yankees York group they're awash with the flu.
Mm.
There's got several folks over there who apparently are the flu. So we wish them all the best of luck and also say stay there for a while.
Also, stop kissing each other. That's if one of you gets it, you'll all get it if you keep kissing each other.
We know this show makes you horny. We get it. That's why we do it. You're going to have to just restrain yourself while you're sick. How are you? You feeling horny these days?
Not after that, no. But, you know.
All right. Not doing it for you. That's fine.
I'm currently in a very delicate medical state where I'm trying to figure out exactly how much Metamucil I'm supposed to have in the morning.
Man, getting old is real hard.
The last few days, it has been too much.
Oh, no.
Don't ask me how I know.
I have some guesses.
Today has been significantly less, but it still feels like too much. So we're getting there.
How much are you putting in? How much fiber are you getting then?
Like is spoonfuls. So one spoonful was too much. Like,
okay.
Too much.
One spoonful in one day is too much for you?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Although it was really fun for like 2 weeks, and then after 2 weeks, my body was just like, I got nothing left in here. Let's just start pooping out your pancreas. And so,
yeah. I thought you looked thinner. In the pancreatic region.
I felt like, you know, they had that story about how when John Wayne died, he had like 40 pounds of impacted feces in his colon or something like that. That was kind of how I felt after a few days. Huh. I was like, I literally, like, measurably have lost weight. And that doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel good.
No, that's fun.
But yeah, can't figure it out. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Okay. I could start eating right, but I figure let's leave that till later.
Yeah, I mean, we're not desperate yet.
I haven't gone to the ER yet.
Once the option is eat better or do life-threatening surgery, mm-hmm. we'll flip a coin.
Yeah.
We'll see which way it goes.
I'll see where we are, see if my deductible's paid up for the year or something like that. I mean, if that question comes to me in February, different answer.
Different answer for sure. Now, November, mm-hmm. early December, you're going to have an answer.
Easy.
Let's just, you want to have a ghost story?
Why not?
Let's see. Let's see. Where's our new sounds? Here we go.
Oh, I'm a baby.
Good. You got the volume up this time. Wonderful.
All right. Well, in the year of our good Lord, 1837, Chicago
mm-hmm.
is formally incorporated as a city.
Huh.
Older than you thought or younger than you thought?
Younger, definitely younger. I don't know why I thought that, but
yeah,
I guess because 1871 was such a, which I remember the name of the fire or the year of the fire now.
After, you did it. Good job. Yeah.
After listening to last week's episode.
Good job.
1871, it was a huge enough city that like it was a momentous fire. I figured that the city itself was like 100 years old at that point. Turns out,
yeah,
about as old as I am.
Mm-hmm.
So
you could go up in flames any second.
And it wouldn't be very momentous, let me tell you that.
I told you to stop messing with those cows. So it goes up in the city. Now, it's smaller than it is now. The city, this is going to mean nothing for people who don't know Chicago, but the city at that point ended at North Avenue. So North Avenue was the northernmost border of the city.
Okay. Okay.
So pretty small.
Yeah.
It's basically like the Loop plus like a mile.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people that live in Chicago today that still consider the city to end at North Avenue. So
I know a lot of people who consider the city to end at North Avenue, but going south. We don't go down to the river. So they're a city, they're a thing. Now, if you're gonna be a city, you need a graveyard.
Yes.
You gotta bury your dead.
You have that big lake out there, but we've already talked about this in other episodes.
That's right. That's our drinking water. Mm-hmm. So I forget. We're not gonna turn the rivers backwards again. Mm-hmm. Fool us once. Absolutely not. So they don't have a graveyard at this point. So the state of Illinois grants the city of Chicago some land just north of the city border, mm-hmm, so they can build a cemetery. Oh. Which is nice. So the city cemetery is outside of the city, which really, if you're a city, that's where you want your cemetery, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is all going fine. People are being buried. It's good. Mm-hmm. But soon, because it is the middle of the 1800s, there is an outbreak of cholera.
Mm. Yes. There's a rush on the cemetery,
Rush on the cemetery. It's like the scene in It's Wonderful Life. Except instead of the savings and loan, it is a cemetery. And instead of people saying, where's my money? Mm-hmm. It's dead bodies. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
No. Is everybody dying to get in? I felt like it was just sitting out there. I had to say it.
I guess so. I wonder how many times one of us has said that line on this podcast. I'm going to say at least half a dozen. And usually it's me, so I guess I should thank you. So, this presents a few problems. The cholera does. Lots more people are dying. Mm-hmm. And they don't have a quarantine area.
Because
Chicago is pretty crowded.
Mm-hmm.
So, the city of Chicago buys several more acres next to the cemetery,
mm-hmm,
where they build a cholera hospital.
Oh.
And then they also expand the cemetery.
Oh.
To accommodate all these new bodies. Accommodate the cholera.
Wonderful.
Cholera accommodation. Yeah. A collar mudation.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's something. That's not it. That's not. There's something there. Hey, ask chat. That'd make a good portmanteau. So it's going. So it's fine. Everything's fine except for the people dying of cholera. Mm. That's not fine, but it's good.
Yeah.
While this is all going on, the area is growing in population.
Mm-hmm. Not the cholera area.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The hospital's going gangbusters, mm-hmm, and also the city of Chicago is growing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a road there called Green Bay Trail, which at this point is really just sort of a horse path. But you probably know it today, Patrick Dean, as Clark Street.
Oh, I do know Clark. I know Clark
pretty,
very well.
Pretty major, mm-hmm, street.
Wouldn't pretty much every path in 1830 whatever be a horse
yeah,
path?
I don't know.
I'm not sure what else they got on there.
There was one rocket ship, and everyone was fighting to drive it, but no one had the right license.
The guy kept screaming how he had to get back to the future, and we're like, no, you wait here.
No, I want to burn tires for a while. No. So settlements are popping up along the Green Bay Trail, which I think, if I remember correctly, I think on the North Shore, Clark becomes Green Bay Road. Is that right?
Maybe.
Or it goes into Green Bay Road, it becomes. So that's, they mm-hmm preserve the trail that way. Whatever. Doesn't matter. We hate Wisconsin. But settlements are popping up along the trail, which runs alongside the cemetery,
mm-hmm,
right? Because, you know, we're talking about Lincoln Park area, right? So mm-hmm it goes up there. And before long, this area along the trail is so populated north of Chicago that it becomes its own town.
Oh.
Would you like to, you have any guesses on the name of this town?
Mm.
I'm going to say you could guess it because you lived in Chicago, but you probably won't, but you could.
I'm going to say Ravenswood.
You're on the right track. It's Lakeview Township.
Oh, okay. I was up there.
You're close. Now, eventually, of course, this will be annexed by the city of Chicago and become, it won't become Lakeview, but it will be annexed, but not until 1898. Mm. So that's way in the future.
Yeah. Not our problem.
Post-fire, post-everything. Not our problem. So Chicago's growing, but also Lakeview is growing. And eventually, the people living in Lakeview are like, I don't think it's very sanitary to live so close to a cemetery. I don't like this cholera cemetery right here.
I love the affordability. The uh-huh school district has something to be desired, obviously, but there's not really much to learn.
The cadaver lab is right. Excellent. No yes complaints about the cadaver lab. Other than that, the classroom is not so good.
Graduating more morticians than I would have expected. But, you know.
Yeah.
The world needs them.
they're complaining about, it's like, bitch, you moved there. Like, what do you, mm-hmm. they just like surprise you at the cemetery. But they don't like it. And a lot of physicians are also like, we really shouldn't have people living this close to a cholera hospital and cemetery.
Right. Yeah.
So
that was the point.
Yeah. I know. So in 1860, a bunch of residents and physicians, they petitioned the Chicago Common Council to stop burying people in the cemetery.
Mm.
And they're like, well, if we stop burying people in the cemetery, what are we going to do with this land? And they say, well, why don't we turn it into a public park?
Oh, okay.
And the city of Chicago is like, well, I'll tell you what. We will stop burying. What if we stop burying new people there? That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
There are tens of thousands of bodies currently buried there.
Mm.
Can we leave those there? Now, the residents would rather that not happen.
Right.
They would rather the bodies be gone.
Right. But.
But.
Playground.
That's quite an undertaking.
Right.
But playground. But we love playgrounds. We love zoos. So they're taking it. They're like, well, it's a start. It's a start. And we'll keep working on it. So we still got people there. Let's see. Where are we here? So no more dead bodies carted around the property. That's important. Mm. So they do designate it as a park, and they call it Lake Park.
Hmm.
Because it is, of course, against the lake.
Sure. Absolutely.
It's not very imaginative.
Could have named it after
a name.
Like a sponsor or something. Got some money out of it. But no.
Sponsor. This was obviously Chicago way before the grift kicked in. This is before any of the dailies showed up on the scene. Meanwhile, the Civil War breaks out in other parts of the country mostly. And then eventually the Civil War ends. And then in 1865, President Abraham Lincoln is shot in a theater, quite famously.
I remember that episode. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So the city then changes the name of the park to honor Abraham Lincoln, and they call it Lincoln Park.
Oh, makes sense now.
And then 130 years later, the greatest band of all time is born. So it's Lincoln Park now. So, and now the war's over. People are really good at moving dead bodies because they've been practicing for several years.
Yes.
They don't have a lot to do with that new skill. And so the city of Chicago is like, actually, we have a pretty good idea. How would you like to move bodies now for money instead of just to make barriers for yourself? And these people are like, all right, that sounds pretty good. So a bunch of folks get to work and they start digging up the dead bodies in the cemetery and they move them to new cemeteries, including Rose Hill and Graceland cemeteries.
Oh, okay.
Both of which are still, of course, yep, in Chicago. Some really famous people buried at both of those, actually. I don't remember who off the top of my head. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So like I said, there's tens of thousands of people buried there. So this takes a while.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is before backhoes. Mm-hmm. So they are just like digging by hand.
You thought the permit process was long. Imagine moving dead people.
And of course it's Chicago. It's winter. You're not digging in the winter because it's that ground is going to be just frozen solid. So this is a multi-year project. Mm. Which I assume has to make Lincoln Park a terrible park to hang out in for like 6 years. It does chill the vibe a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like poor people digging up, partially
other poor skeletons. People. Yeah.
So, it's not a great park to hang out in. So therefore it is quite a boon to park lovers in Chicago. When the Central Park Board of Commissioners in New York City give the Lincoln Park commissioners a gift of two pairs of swans.
That's what they need.
I think it's exactly what this place needed. Now let's chase these fucking geese around.
Do you know how many shovels we go through on a daily basis? You could have just given this all in shovels. I would have accepted four shovels.
How about one man? How about a man to dig?
Yeah.
Do these swans dig? No, they do not. They're mean.
They just kind of hiss and chase us. This is worse.
We don't like it. It's worth noting that New York had very recently at this point opened up the Central Park Zoo. Let me see if I have a nice sound effect for this. I'd like you to permit me a little a little tangent. Little, let's go. Let's take a little fairy path here, if we might.
Oh.
Nope. Do I have anything for this?
Are you just mashing the keyboard?
There we go.
That's magical.
Yeah, let's do that again. So, but you don't interrupt me, and I'll do the right button. So if you'll indulge me, Patrick, I think maybe let's take a left at the fairy path here. And let's talk a little bit about the Central Park Zoo. When Frederick Law Olmsted famously designed Central Park, he made a lot of really great decisions. For example, I know you've been to Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it's probably, remember, it's sunk in down. Mm-hmm. To like cut out the noise,
yeah,
like a bathtub. So yeah, like a hot, gross, dirty bathtub.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's so to block out the noise from the city. So you're in there and it's pretty quiet. So things like that. He was great. A lot of foresight. What he did not foresee for this park was a zoo.
Hmm.
He didn't plan for this.
Right. He thought people would just like want to come there just for the peace and quiet in the green space. But no.
Yeah.
I have
no
kids.
We want loud. We want yeah. Yeehaw! Yeehaw! To happen all the time.
I
want to
see two giraffes in the middle of New York City because I am a fucking sadist.
And I want them to be fucking.
Yeah.
So there's no plan for a zoo, but a zoo, quote, spontaneously evolved.
Not how they work.
When people in New York started, and again, I quote, informally gifting exotic pets to the park.
Okay, this is fair. This is fair.
And by informally gift, I mean the first animal to be donated to the zoo was a small bear cub who was left tied to a tree in Central Park in 1859.
Oh.
And the next year, someone dropped off a monkey. And so it is a thing at this point, and I don't know. I'll find a way if we can work this into a future episode somehow. But it was a thing to have like exotic, like the more exotic your pet, the higher your stature.
Yes.
Right. Like you'd show it, like your social stature was like, oh, you have a monkey. Well, I have a bear.
Yeah. I do kind of wish the zoos still worked this way. They're like the only way they
could
expand.
We're only taking animals that you drop off.
We don't have the budget to procure new animals. Anything you've got looks a little interesting. Chipmunk with two heads. We'll take it. I it's fine.
But we do have 7,000 cats. Yeah. Please stop bringing us your cats. So someone just drops off their because you get an exotic animal and it's a little hard to care for.
Yes. Yeah.
A bear cub is not a domesticated animal.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Very adorable when they're, 15, 20 pounds or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
50 pounds. Less fun.
Less fun. So, so someone leaves a bear cub tied to a tree. Someone then leaves a monkey tied to a tree. And the people of New York go fucking wild for this bear and this monkey.
Like the Boo Radley of the zoo. I love this guy.
Yeah. And people are just dropping their animals off. So suddenly, the RFK Jr. makes a whole lot more sense after reading this because it's a New York tradition. Just drop your animals off. Now, I do think most of these animals were alive at the time, but this is a great tradition. Drop bears off in Central Park. Boo Radley Park. Okay, so these animals are getting a lot of attention. They're getting so much attention that soon people start dropping off other animals, such as cranes.
Oh.
A peacock.
Yeah.
And some goldfish.
Yeah, okay.
Flop, flop, flop. And so New Yorkers love this shit so much. They love it. They love coming down here and seeing these just like random animals who are just hanging out in the park. Hanging out is probably the right word.
Yeah. It's hard to tie a goldfish to a tree, but we did it. Thank you, modern medicine.
So people start giving unsolicited donations to the park commission. More chained animals, please. We love the chained animals. We have so many trees. Please tie more animals to them. Most people donated money, but some people did donate dead animals.
Okay.
Just in case you wanted to start a taxidermy wing of the zoo.
Welcome to the basement of the zoo. Ooh, what's down here?
There's one side note that I absolutely love, which is, quote, the Central Park Planning Commission recorded all of these donations in its annual reports. I love the idea of reading an annual report from the Central Park Planning Commission in 1860, where they like received 3 deer carcasses, 7 dead bears. But then in 1860, the year after the bear was tied to the tree, a group called the American Zoological and Botanical Society is formed. And they think we want to create a zoo somewhere in America.
Okay.
They're not sure where, which seems pretty stupid because New York already has one going on now. New York is in the running, but they're not sure.
I mean, New York, they just need a fence at this point, right? That's kind of how I'm understanding it.
Yeah. Like, get a fence
and a knife.
Yeah. Yeah. Build the fence, cut the ropes, you're good. So more animals keep coming, including 3 bald eagles and a bald monkey. And the American Zoological and Botanical Society has seen enough. That's it. You win. You win, New York. And in 1864, the New York Assembly is like, they gave an official charter for the zoo. And what it's genuinely sounds like is like, they decided they already had a zoo. And they were like, Central Park has a zoo. So let's write this, let's sign this charter. So they signed Charter 1864, which makes it technically the second zoo in America to form, because Philadelphia had founded its zoo in 1859, but the opening of the Philly Zoo was derailed by the Civil War, and it didn't actually open until 1874, much later, which means the Philly Zoo is actually the 4th zoo in the U.S., and the Central Park Zoo is the 1st zoo in the U.S.
Why even bother opening at that point? The fourth zoo in the U.S.
Just set your town on fire and shoot yourself in the face.
I feel bad for all those animals and like getting ready for the opening in 1859.
They got their tie. It's so hard to tie a bow tie when you've got hooves. They did it. They were ready.
And then they're dead by the time it finally opens.
Yeah. Well, circle of life. But I do think it's important to note that if you ever meet someone from Philadelphia and they brag about their zoo being first, you make sure they know that their zoo is fucking 4th. I don't care how many batteries they throw at you. You tell them it's 4th. Anyway, Central Park Zoo, they're going gangbusters by accident. They have so many animals. Like, we have to unload some of these. So they then send 2 pairs of swans to Chicago, which I assume has to be a hilarious joke because because Chicago doesn't have a zoo at this point.
Right.
Lincoln Park Zoo does not exist. There is just a graveyard that's being dug up. So they're going to beautify it, and they send us a pair of swans. 2 pairs of swans.
Wonderful. Like, oh, swans. That's really easy for a zoo. Where do they live? Huge pond. All right. I guess that's next on the list.
Mm-hmm. So the park commissioners are now like, well, shit, I guess we are starting a zoo. And so they open formally the Lincoln Park Zoo, which at the time has a grand total of 4 animals, and they are all swans. But do not worry, other animals are soon donated to the zoo, including a puma, 2 elk, 3 wolves, 4 eagles, and 8 peacocks.
Okay, that's a spread.
Why do we think private citizens in Chicago have pumas and elk and eagles and peacocks?
The elk may have just wandered down. You don't know.
I suppose is possible.
Yeah. It's a different time.
He's like, I wanted to come check out these swans.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no. So this is all happening in 1868 for Chicago. And in 1869. And so the zoo is growing, technically speaking. There's more animals, but there's not a lot going on here. They've got their land, got random animals surrounded by dead people being dug up every day. And that's the zoo.
Yeah. You know what I've learned from watching the Jurassic Park movies is, you know, when things start to lull a little bit, you know what you do?
You set the dinosaurs free.
Genetic engineering. You need some hybrids. You need...
And so this mad fucking scientist moves to Chicago, and he's like, I can help.
He tapes a swan to a puma's ass and throws it out there.
His name was Dr. Moreau. Then let's see. So it's going fine. It's probably a pretty sad zoo.
Sure, there's animals like it.
And they keep them alive. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to compare it to, really, for these people, though. They've never been to the Central Park Zoo.
Right.
They haven't seen the bald monkey, so they don't know what they're missing. So it's going fine, except then, of course, in 1871, that goddamn Irish cow kicks over.
Right, you're right.
And the Chicago Fire rages through the city, which is a problem,
mm-hmm.
And for lots of reasons.
Yes, yeah.
As we have discussed.
First and foremost, the zoo.
Primarily mm-hmm. the zoo. Mm-hmm. When we talked about this during the Drake Hotel double episode, I didn't mention the zoo only because I was saving it. Because the zoo is really the focal point. The fire does hit Lincoln Park. And at that time, grave markers were primarily made out of wood.
Oh, dumb.
Very, in hindsight, so stupid. So stupid. There were mausoleums there, which were made of stone, of course, but mm-hmm. Most of the grave markers themselves were were wood, because a lot of these are poor people. They're cholera patients. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not chiseling names in the stone here. So the problem, of course, is fire tends to burn through wood.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so those are gone now. Those grave markers are gone. And they had been serving a pretty important role.
Right.
Which was to say, not only like, here's who's buried here, but also, hey, here's where a body is.
Yeah, something is down here.
Yeah. So that's important. And now they're gone.
And a lot of people are out of work.
we've got a lot more work. I'll tell you, guys who could do a dowsing rod, they're about to just have the salad days are here, my friend.
Just stick it straight down into the ground. If you feel something jelly-ish, put a flag there.
My dad is a drain layer, so he digs trenches and for plumbing and stuff. And that is a tool that they use, and which is like a very iron pole, like a T. It looks like a big long iron T, and you shove it down the ground to see if you hit a pipe. So you want to dig pipes,
right?
Surely that sort of thing,
technology.
That technology exists. Yeah. That's very easy. I could make that. When I was a baby, I could have made that.
Right. Yes.
So certainly scientists in the 1860s could have made that. So there probably are people out there poking around and like, here's one. Got one.
Yep.
Got one. Dig it up.
And pull it up. Comes back sticky. Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Smell it. Lick it. Yep. That's a body.
And it had cholera.
Anyway, so let's see. Once fire's out. Yeah, their job's a lot harder. So they just had to kind of guess or use poking sticks. So suddenly, the body removal project, it was already going slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's going real slow.
I can also imagine in Chicago post-1871, the priorities shift a little bit from...
Yeah, there's other things to dig.
There's a lot to do at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to build. Hey, everyone, it's time to build River North.
Yeah, I was having a really good time digging up the body muck in Lincoln Park and spooning it over to the other grave site. I really like that.
Yeah, yeah, I really hit my skill set of and my perversions all at once. putting burned ash and lumber into the lake to build more land doesn't fill my bucket.
Mm-mm. No, this does not spark joy.
I miss the goop.
No.
So, so what's going on here? So now that continues, slowly, but the zoo decides to expand, in 1874, they make their first actual purchase of an animal.
Oh, big step.
They buy one. Do you want to guess what animal they buy?
Ooh. Is it a mammal?
It is a mammal.
Okay. Does it have hooves?
No.
Ooh, mammal without hooves. I'm going to go with a lion. Seems like an easy one.
It does not seem easy.
Hmm.
You're going to care for a lion?
Yeah, absolutely.
At this zoo in a graveyard?
If you want people to come out to your zoo, you tell me one other thing before lion you would source.
Panda.
Is it panda?
No, but I would. That's what I would do. It's panda. Without question. Pandas are so cute. It is a bear cub, though. I'll tell you this. I don't know that it's not a panda.
I'm very willing to bet with the amount of information that was coming out of Asia in the 1800s, nobody that lives in Chicago is aware that panda is something that exists on Earth.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Yeah. So they have a bear cub. They buy it from the Philadelphia Zoo, which I would like to note for all our Philadelphia listeners is now open as the fourth zoo in the country.
Oh, congratulations, guys.
Johnny come latelys. Oh, okay. So, and this is a fun game for you. So, New York had the first zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln Park in Chicago is the second zoo. Mm-hmm. We know Philadelphia is the fourth zoo.
Right.
Can you guess which city had the third zoo in the United States?
I'm guessing it's probably in the northern half of the country because the southern half was really busy.
Okay.
I'll go with the mistake by the lake, Cleveland, Ohio.
That's a great guess. It's not correct, but it's a very good guess. I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
You hate it so much.
Is it Providence?
It's yes. Is it Providence? Yes, it's Providence.
Of all the cities in this wide world, you only had to say two words to me.
So the Lincoln Park Zoo buys a bear from Philadelphia for which they pay $10.
Oh, wow. They're a lot more expensive today, nowadays.
Yeah. Today that, is about $284.
I promise you it is more expensive to buy a bear today.
don't ask me any questions, but just today I was looking, holy shit. Here's a quote. The bear came quite adept at escaping from its home and could frequently be found roaming Lincoln Park at night. So the zoo is getting better, or at least more exciting.
did you hear the story about the St. Louis Zoo? This is very recently, within the last 5 years or so. One of the sun bears
are so cute.
I think one of the, don't quote me, it was one of the bears in the Riverwalk exhibit, I think.
Yeah, that's
River's Edge. Yeah.
Right across from the elephants.
Yeah. Yep. It got some sort of a taste for food.
Human?
Oh. Garbage. My assumption is that it got, you know, a taste for soda or something like that. And it made it its life's mission to escape from that enclosure. And on several occasions, it did. At one point, it had escaped with nobody knowing. And someone came around the turn in the River's Edge, and the sun bear is just standing in the middle of the walkway. Just like,
oh, my God. Now, here's what I'll say. Sun bears, so cute.
Absolutely adorable. Yes.
So cute. Yes. Also, probably pretty lethal.
Very large. Very large for a bear.
Oh, man. Can you imagine? That is a very twisty, turny little path there. Coming across. Because by the time you come around a curve there, you're like, they've got to be like 20 feet from that bear.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
My God. That's incredible.
So that bear was removed. I don't know where he got removed to. But he was removed to a different zoo entirely or a different place entirely.
That bear, I'm sorry to say, that bear has been euthanized. Which actually brings to a good point. So we're talking about the zoo, Lincoln Park Zoo today. Mm-hmm. Folks, listen, I know there's a lot of mixed feelings about zoos.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk about the sad side of zoos. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the ghost side of zoos and the cool, the funny side of zoos.
Right. Yeah.
Doesn't mean we don't know that, you know, zoos, you know, there's a, that's whatever. There's zoos can be bad.
Should we have done a trigger warning? We should have.
Hey everyone, this is a trigger warning.
Hey Jeremy, put this back at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeremy, will you cut this back in the beginning? Okay. I'll give you some space. One, two, trigger warning. This episode contains zoo content.
And puma content.
But not the kind you want. That'll do, I think. That's pretty good. So move to the front. And, you know, it made me think. You know who will not go to a zoo because it makes that person so uncomfortable to see animals in captivity?
No, who?
Producer Ryan.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Of all people. You would expect him to be an absolute fucking sadist.
Doesn't he have like a zoo in his home?
Yeah.
He
has an animal in a cage. He's got a turtle in a case. And he's got a cat.
You know what? That's why I refuse to go to Producer Ryan's house. Because I can't support that.
I'll tell you this. This is a secret. Hey, you know where he got that turtle? He took it from a river in Michigan. That was a free range turtle.
It was so happy there, Producer Ryan.
It was in his natural habitat. Mm-hmm. You know how long turtles live?
I mean,
he's had that turtle for like 30 years.
I'm sure in a Michigan river, it would have been dead, you know, sometime during the Obama administration. But
that's an important point. It's an important point.
But even so, it lives on in agony in that house.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. He's a mean little bugger, too. I tell you what. Anyway, so where are we here? So now there's a bear who escapes. So the zoo's getting fun. And it is now officially, they've been moving bodies at this point for a decade. And they're still working on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still a weird zoo to go to. Go to. In 1877, the Chicago Tribune reports that all vestiges of the cemetery have been removed.
Oh.
Except for the couch tomb.
Okay, right.
Remember the couch tomb?
I don't know the couch tomb, but it sounds lovely.
It's the sole remaining evidence of the original cemetery today.
Hmm.
Actually, it's a source of a big mystery, so we might cover that. Maybe we'll do it on Ghosty on it, because it is potentially haunted and also strange.
Couch that one for later.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. If you like that joke, you're going to love Ghost Plus. You can
where you can edit all of this out.
Yeah, new Ghost Plus perk. We take out all Patrick's bad stuff. All right. So anyway, so 1877, the Tribune is like, we're good. No more bodies here. And I would say, I as a journalism major, someone with a journalism degree, and someone who loves the free press, I would, when the Chicago Tribune puts something in print, that's it.
Mm-hmm. That's the God's on it. That's the gospel right there.
Absolutely.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And the Chicago Tribune. That's actually Trunk. What it says.
Was that, didn't they? That was a short-lived little... it was a portmanteau, wasn't it? When the Tribune merged with something. And they're like, what do we call it? And they're like, how about... Oh, the San Francisco Chronicle.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, what do we call it? How about Trunk? Fucking kidding me? God, Trunk. Anyway, so... it's probably true, but I would say in this one scenario, it looks like that headline might have been a little premature, because ever since then, skeletons and coffins have continuously been discovered in the park during construction projects. To this day, they are still digging up bodies. Sometimes when they dig up, you know, when they dig footings for new construction projects. So they didn't do a good job. Lots of bodies still in Lincoln Park. By some estimates, there are almost 10,000 bodies still in Lincoln Park, which is a whole lot. That's a lot of bodies.
That's a bunch.
Yeah. Now it's, you know, let's remind everyone, the grave markers were destroyed, so it is a difficult challenge.
Absolutely.
It's,
yes. Yeah,
I'm not blaming the blue collar digging class here, but. So it's just how things go. Meanwhile, the zoo continues to grow. In 1884, someone donates a bison.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I guess probably two bison, because in 1884, the first ever American bison was born in captivity.
Wow.
At the Lincoln Park Zoo, which was really important, actually, because by this time, American bison had been hunted almost to extinction. Thanks, Native Americans.
Save some for the rest of us.
I would try to get. I really wanted to get through that one with a straight face, and it didn't work out. They've been hunted almost to extinction, and the Lincoln Park Zoo became an early breeding ground for the bison. So much so that in 1896, the U.S. government bought one bull and seven cows from the Lincoln Park Zoo and sent them to Yellowstone to assist in the bison revival there.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're welcome, America, from Chicago. In 1888, a man named Cy DeVry takes control of the zoo, and he goes fucking crazy.
Okay.
So Cy's uncle had been the zookeeper previously, but he died.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, they're like, well, we got to keep it in the family. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't know what to do. So Cy was like, I'll do this. Yeah.
Nobody else knows what bison eat besides him. And he says he passed it on to his nephew.
It's a family secret. So. We got to keep these bison. The president has his eyes on us. So Cy moves over from Pennsylvania to run the zoo.
Wow.
And when Cy takes over, the zoo is just, at this point, it's crazy. It's a haphazard, like, array of animal cages. Mm-hmm. It's just like, walk through this park and see animals in cages. Is that fun to you? Go, then this is the place for you. But Cy comes in, he digs in, and he starts organizing the whole place.
Mm. Alphabetically? That's
right.
I
wonder how he does. It seems easiest.
Mm-hmm. Aardvark,
at this point.
Bison.
Swan. That's it.
Swan. Yeah. And then, oh, Puma.
Oh, no. Bear. The bear had escaped, so we didn't see him. He creates purpose-built areas, which is the model for zoos today.
Mm-hmm.
He builds many new structures. And I will say, in doing so, he unearths quite a few skeletons from the park. He also obtains the zoo's first elephant and monkeys.
Wow.
And you're going to like this one. He opens a lion house in 1912.
See? Finally.
So he's doing great. I have a picture here of Cy. Let me share this with you. There you go.
That is a zoologist if I have ever seen one.
He's going to give that lion lung cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
Put your cigar out, you animal.
Oh.
I think I'm going to frame this picture in front of my wall. It's so good.
And the lioness there is, or I know, I can't, looks like probably a lioness.
I assume so, yeah.
His name is Senator. That's the name of the animal, according to the caption there.
Where are you seeing a caption?
Up at the top.
Oh, I see. Oh, this is a good time to point out. I'm red, green, colorblind, so I did not even know that that existed because it's red text on a green background. Fascinating. Yeah, cool. All right. Well, women can't be senators. Let's close that. So based on that photo, though, you'd probably not be surprised to learn that Cy was known as a hands-on zookeeper.
I saw both hands on one of the animals, yeah.
And he, quote, he was seriously wounded on multiple occasions, most seriously in 1901 when Leo the lion bit off the end of his index finger.
Oh. Mm, okay.
The wound healed poorly, and DeVry was told that the hand might have to be amputated. Devastated, he attempted suicide by gunshot, but survived.
Okay.
So that's kind of like a quick way to get to like Cy's whole deal.
Yeah. He probably survived because it was hard to shoot with your other hand.
He's like, Oh, now I need a haircut. But Cy was very innovative in the zoo space. Let's see. So he believed in stimulation and enrichment for the animals, which at this time especially was very forward thinking.
Yeah. They're like stimulating them. We stimulate them if they get out of line. Watch. Zap.
We have zapping sticks. Yeah. We just had them invented for this purpose. One example, he kept the Lincoln Park monkeys entertained by placing a pig in their enclosure.
Oh.
here's a fun quote. Although the pig provided plenty of diversion to the monkeys, the arrangement drew the ire of the Illinois Humane Society. Man, no one can have any fun anymore, you know? Fucking woke agenda. Come on. Put a pig in the monkey enclosure.
Do you know what the other option is for the pig here? I mean,
it's not going to get better for him. Yeah. Oh, man. So, but anyway, he's very forward-thinking. He's got, animal-specific enclosures being built. He's stimulating them. He's giving them pigs to play with. The Lincoln Park Zoo flourishes under Cy's leadership, for sure. Now, in 1919, a visitor to the zoo begins pestering several young women. And Cy, quote, engaged in an altercation with him. I don't know what that means exactly, but I do know that a public petition then called for Cy's dismissal. It got 50,000 signatures. So sounds to me like the people of Chicago have got it twisted. Because I'm pretty sure he was trying to stop someone from harassing women.
Mm-hmm.
Although now they say it out loud, Chicago in the early 1900s, it's like, let him do it. Let him cop feels. So 50,000 signatures, and the park commissioners reluctantly let him go.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's gone, but he has changed the zoo, in very important ways that remain today. Now since Cy's dismissal, of course, the zoo has been run by just so many different people that we're not going to talk about. There are all kinds of animals there today. Have you been to the Lincoln Park Zoo?
I have not. The whole time we lived there, never made it to the zoo. Yeah.
I went a couple times. It's fine.
That's kind of the impression that I got. I'm coming from St. Louis. It's sort of like, I guess I could go, but I feel like I would be underwhelmed. I don't want that.
Yeah, St. Louis, famously the best free zoo out there. Mm-hmm. One of the best zoos, period. And when we lived in Berwyn, we were like 10 minutes from the Brookfield Zoo. Mm-hmm. That's
also
a good zoo.
Also lovely. Very nice.
Love that zoo. Lincoln Park Zoo is a little sad. It's a little, those cages look a little small. But it's very popular, of course. It's great. It's, you know, it's fine. It's good. All kinds of animals there today. The zoo has expanded, obviously, in a century and a half. Mm-hmm. It's been in existence. Quite a lot of the property does sit on top of unmarked and forgotten bodies that are sometimes dug up. Not always. Now, some of the bodies aren't very happy about having a zoo built over them. For example, the Lion House, in particular, is quite haunted.
Ooh.
The Lion House basement is notorious for figures in Victorian clothing who show up in the women's bathroom mirrors. Several staff members have reported a man in old-time clothing looking at them through the mirror and screaming, "Get out!"
But you're the one in the mirror. I don't understand.
Yeah, you. Yeah. He can't get out.
Yeah.
I want peace. I can't leave this fucking mirror. Will you just leave?
This whole place smells like a litter box, and I can't get out of it.
Cool legs that you have that go all the way to your feet so you can walk. Look at me. Mine go to my shins at best. People aren't tall enough for me to have feet. That joke's a thinker. Mm. Other figures in the mirrors plead with guests to please leave the park. Oh. There's at least one ghost who begs people, "Will you look at me?"
Mm.
Shadow figures also enter the restroom from time to time, which I imagine. Actually, if you're going to see a shadow figure walk into a bathroom is the best place to be.
Okay.
You're in shit, and it's good if you're on that toilet.
Usually not two exits, though. I like, if I'm going to be approached by a shadowy figure, I like having a backup exit.
That's true. That's true. Mm. Outside of the restroom, just walking through the zoo, many people report sudden nausea and lightheadedness in certain spots, which passes as soon as they step out of those areas. Mm. Some of those areas have been mapped to places where skeletons have been dug up. Important note about the zoo. There's also a barn at the zoo.
Okay.
It's like a fancy zoo barn.
Yeah, of course.
They have barn animals. Mm-hmm. Hay and straw and stuff. Yeah. This was built in 1962 when they were digging up the foundation for this barn. They dug up a skeleton, and I have a photo actually for you of this excavation work. There you go.
Okay. They're kind of being careful about it. They're touching it a lot, which I don't think anybody wants.
There are so many people on this dig site. Jesus Christ.
And how many of them are children? Like, was there a tour that day?
Look at this kid. What are you doing?
We all get to bring one home, right? Yes.
There are so many bones. Can I have one? And look how like well preserved this body. It's in the right order, I think, for the most part.
Trying to figure out which zoo animal this was. And every time they lay another bone down, they're like, not good.
Someone call Sam Neill.
Yeah.
Maybe he can make sense of this, because if not, I think it's a person.
I think there was a claw down here. Definitely not a human. I think it's the claw.
So that was indicative of what they found when they were digging that. There was a lot of discussion about this skeleton in particular, what to do with the remains. What would you do with the remains? It's 1962. Mm-hmm. You're putting a barn in a zoo. Mm-hmm. You find this skeleton. Mm-hmm. What do you do with it?
Raffle. Probably raffle.
We thought about bedazzling it first to make it, give it some value, but no, we thought, you know, it's as original as good.
Classic barbecue raffle. You put everything up on a table. When your number gets called, you come up, you choose whichever bone you want. One bone per person.
Mm-hmm. You get an early call. You could get the skull. Mm-hmm. Even if you get the tailbone, though, still good. Still good to have human bone in your house.
Yeah. Best part about the phalanges, very easy to conceal.
Absolutely. When the police come undoubtedly to your house later, you're going to want to put that in your pocket. That is not what they did. In the end, the zoo director, who at this point was Dr. Lester Fisher, Dr. Lester Fisher, decided to return it to the earth. So they he put it back in the hole, and they built the barn on top of it, which I don't think is the right thing to do.
Is he familiar with popular media at all? Like, is that...
Boy, can you imagine this happening in the time of TikTok? Man, been so fun.
Can you imagine the TikTok video of somebody like just kicking all the bones back down into the trench? I'm like, nah, my fucking problem.
Nah, put this dirt back over here. So you build the barn over top of it, which of course is a mistake. Mm-hmm. So now when you go there, it's not uncommon to hear a male ghost screaming inside the barn.
Screaming, there is a barn built on top of me. Please move it.
Get it off, get it off, get it off. And that is the story of the Lincoln Park Zoo and some of its many ghosts. Oof.
I had no idea.
You didn't know it was haunted?
Probably because I've never been there. But yeah.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say you should go, but I don't think I believe that in my heart. I don't I think it's okay that you don't. Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes and some of the bad ones were made by Patrick Dean. our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor and our our spider woman is Jen Swanson. Our social media team consists of, I haven't heard from Kai now in like months. I just want her to be okay. I just want her to be okay. But Jen Jones and Sam Murdoch. And what else? Oh, our merch is handled by Fox and Quill Studio. And that's it for us, I guess, this time. So until next week, move all the bodies.
Yeah.
If you're going to move bodies, move all the bodies.
And if you find a body... don't just kick it back down in the hole. Don't.
Certainly don't build a barn on top of it. Otherwise, we will be talking about you on the next episode of Is This a Ghost?